If you have your Bibles today, open them to Matthew chapter 2, and we will consider Christmas in a little town. I want you to consider with me this morning the search for Jesus, but not only the search for Jesus, but what the Scriptures secondly say about Jesus. And then third, we'll see Jesus as the shepherd, as our shepherd. In Matthew's account, we will learn that God does not always think the way we do, that God's ways are not always the same as our ways. But also, I want you to consider this morning, that the way God's Word defines Christmas is not always the way that Christmas is defined by others. And today, as we open up Matthew chapter 2, I want you to notice Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, and we'll shine the light brightly on verse 6. Matthew chapter 2, in verse 1, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he? Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet.'" Now see what the prophet Micah says that's retold through Matthew's account in verse 6. "For it is written by the prophet Micah, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, O you Bethlehem, you are by no means the least among all the rulers of Judah. For little Bethlehem, from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Can I ask you this morning, what are you searching for this Christmas? I've already talked to my little buddy Oliver this morning. He has identified all the gifts under the tree that has his name on them. He knows which ones. Mom said she can't put Oliver's gifts in sacks anymore because he finds out what's in the sacks. So they're all tightly wrapped in the boxes. He didn't shake them, though. He doesn't know what they sound like. I want to ask you this morning, what gifts are you searching for this Christmas? Well, what is your heart asking for? What are you looking for? It's amazing here in Matthew chapter 2 that Matthew speaks of a search. Now, there's two contrasting groups here, two contrasting motives for why they're searching. There's the king in his palace in Jerusalem. There's foreigners that come from all the way to the eastern side, from the eastern side of the world. They're searching. And when they hear what they're searching for, when they find out what they're searching for, we'll see the king filled with paranoia, hatred even. But these foreigners, what a response. Foreigners who will search for and find Jesus, and they will worship him, and they'll worship him in the most unlikeliest of places. Let's consider first this morning the search. The search. At the end of chapter 1 of Matthew, we read that the birth of Christ took place this way, and we're introduced to the characters of the Christmas story. The Virgin Mary, the man she was engaged to, Joseph, the Holy Spirit, who has conceived in Mary the baby Jesus, the Son of God, the angel of the Lord, who says to Joseph, "Don't fear, take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And when that baby's born, Joseph, you name him Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins." And after Christ was born, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 tells us that there came during the days of Herod the king, foreigners, wise men, traveling from the east, Arabia, maybe as far as Babylon, but they came searching, guided by a star. "Where is he?" they ask as they enter Jerusalem. "Where is the king of the Jews? We saw his star and we've come to worship him." Now, in this search, who's introduced to us? Well, it's in the times of King Herod, the Herodian dynasty. And then these foreigners, these wise men who come from the east. And don't miss the question, where is he? Are there ever times in your life where you ask, "Jesus, where are you? I'm looking for you. I want to worship you, Jesus." These foreigners, we don't know all of their reasons for coming, but Matthew, in just a very brief way, helps us understand that one thing they do know, they are looking for a king. And if and when they find him, they will worship him. Let me ask you today, is your search for Jesus? Are the motivating factors behind your search for Jesus so that you will worship him? For he is the king. He is the ruler. Oh, this morning I want to remind you this Christmas that Jesus Christ is the only one worthy of our worship. Jesus Christ, the Christ of Christmas, is the only one worthy of our worship. And what a contrast, these foreigners from the east, in contrast to the wicked one, King Herod. When Herod the king heard this, verse 3 says, he was troubled. Why was he troubled? Why was he upset? Why was Jerusalem seemingly all in a panic about this? You can see the king in his paranoia and his anxiety, hurriedly scrambling to bring people together. And notice, he brings the chief priests, the religious leaders from Jerusalem. He inquires of them, "Where is Christ to be born?" They tell him, "In Bethlehem." Notice that verse 7, Herod summons the wise men secretly, and he ascertains from them, "When did that star appear?" My, King Herod, so inquisitive, so interested in this one who will be king of the Jews. Notice he says, "Go to Bethlehem, search for him." Verse 8, "Bring me word about him that I may too come and find him and worship him. Seemingly the same response by King Herod that the wise men have. I want to worship this king. But Matthew helps us understand later that King Herod was actually hostile to Christ. He did not want to worship this Christ. A matter of fact, verse 16, after he had been tricked by those foreigners from the east, he became furious and he sent and he killed all the male children in Bethlehem. What a wicked king. What a wicked man, King Herod. Kostenberger puts it this way, that King Herod was a famous king, a dangerous, brilliant, paranoid, successful, and cruel king. Here in Matthew chapter 2, we find him at the very end of his reign, perhaps as old as 70, paranoid. His palace included plots and assassination attempts, deception and treachery. Herod lived among people he could not trust, and the king regularly feared for his life and his throne. He viewed Jesus with skepticism. He viewed Jesus as a competitive rival who needed to be stopped in the early, early days of his life. What are you searching for this Christmas? The wise men, looking for the king, they went on their way. They saw the star. They found King Jesus. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They fell down. They worshiped Jesus. But King Herod hated Jesus. He wanted to eliminate. He wanted to kill King Jesus. What are your motives this Christmas? What is your heart searching for this Christmas? Truly, Christ the King is the only one worthy of our worship. Notice this morning, we see the search, and the search leads us to the Scriptures. For the chief priests understand that some 700 years before, Micah the prophet had said that Bethlehem will be the place. Bethlehem will be the birthplace of the long-awaited king, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Bethlehem. We see another contrast here in this passage. We see Jerusalem, the religious center, the capital, but also Jerusalem, the place of power, the authority of the chief priests, those in charge at the temple. But a place of power, the palace of the king, the wicked one, King Herod. Jerusalem is where the people come. Jerusalem is where those searching come to find the king. But oh no, the Scriptures tell us that it won't be in Jerusalem where Jesus is born. It will not be in this place of power. It will not be in this place of religion, if you will. No, Jesus will be born in the most unlikeliest places. Bethlehem. The place would be Bethlehem. Who could have ever dreamed that a little insignificant town like Bethlehem would be the birthplace of the King of Kings? In the Old Testament, we're introduced to this little town. We see that it's David's town. You'll notice some symbolism here. Notice there was a time many, many years before where a prophet was looking for a king. And God guided him to a little place called Bethlehem, and there was a man named Jesse who lived there. And Jesse brought his oldest sons all together for the prophet. And one by one, God said, "No, not him, not him, not him, not him. Are these, Jesse, are these all your boys?" "No, no, I have one more. But he's just a little old ruddy shepherd boy who's out with the flocks." And the prophet says, "Bring him to me." And God says, "Yes, he's my choice. This little boy, David, from Bethlehem." The story of Ruth helps us understand that back in history, a man named Boaz will save the day, if you will, and be the kinsman redeemer. And out of this line will come Jesse, the father of David. And it's in that place that the Lord says, "Remember this. Oh, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon what? The heart." We're reminded today from the story of David, that little shepherd boy from Bethlehem, that Christmas is all in the heart. Worship comes from the heart. The motives that we have come from our heart. And Bethlehem would be the place, the hometown of David, King David, and the hometown of Jesus. And from this little place, from this insignificant town, will come the most preeminent person ever born, Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, born in Bethlehem. And the prophecy from here, Micah says, will come a ruler. Don't miss this morning. Oh yes, the baby Jesus, born to the Virgin Mary, but listen, no ordinary baby, no ordinary person, no, conceived of the Holy Spirit, the Son of God, ruler, King Jesus. And so here we see another contrast, contrasting kingdoms. The earthly kingdom of the tyrant, cruel ruler Herod, but all the heavenly kingdom of King Jesus. A kingdom prophesied of by Samuel to King David. "David, there's another kingdom coming. David, your kingdom will end. David, your life will one day end. But David, there's another kingdom coming, and someone will sit on your throne, the throne of David, and their kingdom will last how long? Forever." King Jesus, King of heaven, King of earth, King forever. Make no mistake, King Jesus has no rivals. King Jesus has no equals. King Jesus alone is worthy of our worship. Swindoll says it this way: "God didn't become human merely to add his good to offset our evil." Christmas is not about just sprinkling a little bit of good into this world. No, listen. No, the birth of Jesus was an invasion, a benevolent takeover whereby everyone and everything, all of it in the world, must be transformed by his rule. Oh, listen this morning. King Jesus is not an American king. King Jesus is not a Western king. King Jesus is not a Eastern king. King Jesus is not king of a little place in the Middle East. No, no, no. Listen, King Jesus is king of the world. He's king of heaven. He's king of earth. And he will reign forever and ever. And if you miss this, you miss all of Christmas. In order to truly celebrate Christmas, you must bow to the King of Kings. You must acknowledge, Jesus, you are my King. And there's no other. King Jesus, you are the only one. Are you a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? Are you a citizen of God's kingdom? Do you believe what the scriptures say about Jesus? We live in a world today that takes the scriptures and does this. I think that's what King Herod did. He got what he wanted. He found what he wanted from the scriptures, and then, God, I'm through with you. I don't need you. Oh, may all of us see how desperately we need King Jesus to rule in our hearts, our lives, our nation, the world. Let King Jesus be your ruler. Bow the knee to him, the one born in the little insignificant place, the preeminent one, Jesus. And then lastly today, we see the shepherd. Of all the images, we see Christ as ruler, but we see Christ also a ruler who's a shepherd. For the prophet says, for you, little town Bethlehem, will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. If you look back to Micah's prophecy, you see there in Micah 5:4, he will stand in authority. He will shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they, his flock, his sheep, will dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. Listen, hear the good news of Christmas. A ruler is born, and he will rule like a shepherd who loves his sheep, who cares for his sheep, who protects his flock, who tends his flock day and night. You see, the sad thing about Jerusalem in the first century, the sad thing about Israel under the prophet Micah, they'd forgot how to love. They'd forgot how to care. Micah speaks of disregard for the poor, apathy, pride. And Micah foretold the downfall of Israel. But in that desperation, in that darkness, Micah says there's a day coming when another king will be born, and he will shepherd his people. He will love his people. He will protect his people. He will be the good shepherd. In Luke chapter 2, in Luke's record of the birth of Christ, Luke reveals the first group of people who found out about the birth of Christ. You know who they were? Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appears to them, and the glory of the Lord shines all around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good news. I bring you good news of great joy that is for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ Jesus the Lord. And this is your sign: you'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." Who did God reveal this truth? He revealed this truth to shepherds. Nameless shepherds, obscure shepherds, lowly, dirty shepherds. Listen to me this morning. No one's insignificant in God's eyes. God loved those shepherds. If anything, those shepherds of all the kings that had rejected God throughout the history of Israel, of all the kings who had led the people away from God. Ironically, it was in that night in a field where shepherds that knew every one of those animals' names and cared for them and loved them, God said, "I'll reveal the truth of Christmas to you." I don't know where all the roads of your life have taken you, but I can guarantee you this morning: God knows how to find you. You say, "Mike, my life's led me to one dead end after another." God will meet you there. God loves you. God knows the hurt in your heart this morning. God knows the pain in your heart. God knows all the questions you have. And God loves you. And listen, God still brings good news of great joy to people who will stop and take enough time to listen. The shepherds listened, and they found the baby. They went in a hurry to Jesus without hesitation, and they worshiped. They worshiped. They glorified God. They praised God. Listen, will praise be in your heart this Christmas for who God is, for what He's done, for His promises, promises made, promises kept? But I want to take you to one last place today, John chapter 10 and verse 11. For this baby Jesus would be born and would grow. And we don't hear a whole lot about His growing up years. But then Luke, somewhere around the age of 30, he said, Christ comes onto the scene, and maybe for 2 to 3 years, ministers. And there came a day that John records in John chapter 10 and verse 11 that Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I'm that shepherd that Micah talked about, the prophet. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." The greatest act of Christ, the good shepherd, was the one that would bring to culmination his life of service. It was submitting as a lamb to the slaughter. The good shepherd would be all along the perfect Lamb of God. Jesus died for you. Jesus was born for you. Oh, maybe there's been people in your life, they've used you, they've manipulated you, they've rejected you. Listen. Look to Jesus this morning. He's your source of hope, joy, peace, forgiveness. He is your good shepherd. He loves you. He died for you. He laid down his life for you. Why? Well, don't forget the names. Don't forget the names of God. Don't forget the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Do you know that you're loved today? Do you know that the Good Shepherd loves you? Do you know that he laid down his life on the cross for you? Will you receive his gift of forgiveness and hope and joy and peace? As our musicians come and we prepare for our time of invitation, who do you identify with in Luke's story? For some reason this morning, is there hatred, paranoia, pride in your heart towards God, the world, life? Or do you come this morning with the heart of a foreigner who just wants to find Jesus and bend the knee? What a time at the end of this year, as a new year is calling. Bow the knee to Jesus. Deny yourself. Turn from your sin. Trust him. Believe in him. And trust your life with him. For he is the Good Shepherd. Father God, thank you for this message of hope and joy and peace. This shepherd boy, this ruler, the King of Kings, Jesus, may we open our hearts, our lives, and bend the knee, for he alone is worthy of our worship. In Jesus' name, we pray this morning. Amen. Would you stand?